organization committees and distinguished audience, bonjour. And we would like to talk about durable cooperation today with you. And we will present with David Crowder. And our presentation is will consist of this outline. And we will talk about, actually we will try to summarize some issue in the global world, and we will talk about globalization and the effect of the business life. That is the first part of our presentation. And then we are going to talk about sustainability. That is the major subject of this presentation. We will give some details, and we would like to discuss about some details about sustainability. And you know, this is a well-known subject, and also the myths surrounding it. But we have some different idea about that also. And we will give evaluation of sustainability and describe our new approach about this concept. And finally, we would like to talk about, and we would like to introduce and share with you some new idea about sustainability and sustainable cooperation. And it will be first time to talk about with you in this conference. Now, let's talk about current situation of business world. Why we are talking about that? Because globalization affects very much in our natural area, business life, and all related area, business stakeholders, and trading and financial markets, and all whole economy. So the phenomenon known as globalization, as we know, that is a multidimensional process involving economics, politics, social, environmental, and cultural change. However, the most important discussion about globalization is related with economic effect it has upon countries. It is much more important for financial markets, and especially much more important for developing countries, especially in the 21st century. The globalization process has dynamic and critical and inevitable consequences for institutions, business, and environment, especially for a developing country, as I mentioned before. In our concept, we think that globalization very important because increasing competition. Increasing risk, and risk are create this situation is create new situation, new risk for business life. So our question is, how can we manage this new risk in this world? So after that, we know that we have to manage this risk with good risk management and some new tools. You know, in this business life, financial crisis is also very important. So the previous speaker also mentioned some business scandals, business failure, and that is very important for stakeholders, right? Requires regulation and international standards, maybe world standards. So that is another issue in this world. We need financial stability, business success, and we have to protect stakeholder rights. So we need good governance to find out some solution to handle this problem. Good governance and corporate governance is more than regulation. And more than law, and some also more than some international standards. So we know that corporate governance and CSR are necessary to solve some of this kind of problems also. And we know that good governance is essential for good, good corporate performance also. And one view of good corporate performance is that of stewardship. And this, just as the management of an organization is concerned with the stewardship and of the financial resources of the organizations, so too would management of organization be concerned with the stewardship of environmental resources. And finally, globalization affects all business life and create new risk. We need efficient management, we need a regulation, we need international standards and corporate governance and CSR. These are all of related, all for sustainability and sustainable development. So now I think we have to talk about what is sustainability, what is this term meaning, David?
Okay. Everybody wants to talk about sustainability these days, and every firm wants to talk about sustainability these days. When they talk about these things, they always start with the same definition, that sustainability is concerned with the effect which actions taken in the present can have upon the options available to the future, and if we do things now, it limits the everybody wants to talk about sustainability. Every firm wants to talk about sustainability. As I was saying, they all start from this definition that sustainability is about the effects which actions taken in the present have upon the future. And everybody unquestioningly accepts this as a definition of what sustainability is all about. This definition, of course, comes from the report of the Brundtland Commission, which was published just over 20 years ago, and ever since it's been accepted. But our argument is that this is a problem. The acceptance of this as a definition has turned the debate away from the important issues about sustainability and led to some cozy assumptions that firms and theoreticians and academics have just accepted as the norm. So we have what we call the myths of sustainability. That one of the myths being that sustainability and sustainable development are the same thing. And if you look at corporate reporting, these terms are used interchangeably. Obviously, they're not the same thing, but people assume they are. And another myth, a sustainable company will exist really merely by recognising, in addition to financial and economic aspects, right, environmental and social issues, and if the firm incorporates these into its strategic planning, it's dealt with the issue of sustainability and the problem is solved, which is complete nonsense, because there's some serious things that we want to talk about that are ignored from any analysis based on this kind of approach. So what we want to do is start from this definition, re-examine what Brundtland says and some of the other problems, and suggest an alternative.
Okay. We have to talk about triple bottom line. Right now, as you know, three aspects of performance, and economic aspect, social aspect, and environmental aspect. There have been various descendants of Brundtland, including the concept of triple bottom line, we know. This turn has to lead to an assumption that addressing the three aspects of economic, social, and environmental is all that is necessary in order to ensure not just sustainability, but also enable for sustainable development. And all corporation imply that they have recognized the problem, addressed the issues, and thereby ensured sustainable development. So we argue for a rejection of triple bottom line as insufficiently defined for practical use for us. Our argument is that the problem of sustainability is not even understood, let alone addressed for us. So now I think, we have to talk about some new things. So it is therefore time to re-examine legacy of Brundtland and redefine what is the mean of sustainable activity. These are the, as you see, these are the components of first we add triple bottom line, which is a new component for triple bottom line, which is finance. And also we know that we cannot manage another issue such as environment, social organization without financial resources. So it is inevitable component for us. And so, as you know, societal influence, which we define as a measure of the impact that society makes upon a corporation in terms of the social contract and stakeholder influence. Another one, environmental impact, we defined as the effect of the action of corporation upon its geophysical environment. Organization culture is which we define as the relationship between the corporation and its internal stakeholders, especially employers and all aspects of the relationship. And finally, finance, which we define in terms of adequate return of level of risk undertaken. These are in order to ensure not just sustainability, but also enable sustainable development. Moreover, it is the balance between term which is crucial. So that is the model for in this way and provides one starting point for our analysis.
Okay, so... So we've got, instead of the triple bottom line, we've got four aspects of sustainability described in that model, but we can look at those in a different way, and we've got here a different description of those four aspects of sustainability. And at the top of those, we've got maintaining economic activity, because there's no point in pretending that firms can exist just by being nice and by caring about the environment. They've got to maintain economic activity and they've got to maintain some kind of financial return to the owners and investors in the business, but they need to do more than that to continue to survive. So they obviously, conservation of the environment is crucial, not to be nice, but it's in the self-interest of firms to have some environmental resources they can continue to use. We've got to talk about ensuring social justice, which is about eliminating poverty, ensuring human rights, promotion of universally United Nations Declaration, those kind of things. And we've got to talk about developing spiritual and cultural values. This is something which is normally excluded from any analysis of corporate activity. Well, these are all important aspects of what sustainability is all about, and it's addressing these things and talking about these things which leads us to our argument that Brundtland got it wrong and has misled everybody for 20 years, and the triple bottom line does not address the real issues. So we want to try and explain what our argument is all about, and in order to do that we want to start with the traditional view of the transformational process of corporate activity. And when you look at the traditional view of the transformational process, it always starts with this model where we have inputs, capital, labour, finance, some kind of activity takes place in a firm which adds value, which leads to outputs, and outputs are always only goods and services and profit which is reinvested or returned to the owners of the business. Now, that is the traditional way of looking at things, and this also is completely misleading. There are a number of issues which are neglected, so let's look at those.
Accounting problem?
Yeah.
There are a number of problems with the economic view of corporate activity and encapsulated in a way that accounting for corporate activity has evolved. Firstly, the economic view of corporate activity is that efficiency is all that matters. So economics of scale, the regulation of markets, globalization, and etc. Secondly, efficiency is always adequate as cost reduction. Production at the lower financial cost because finance is a scarce resource. And thirdly, cost reduction is sustainable. So business migrates around the world in search of over lower cost of production and cheap labor and cheap raw materials. And finally, it is always possible. Labor by technology, one source of energy by another, and etc. These are all incorrect. So the other main problem with the traditional economic view of corporate activity is the assumption that stakeholders are a production to be used to provide the surplus which is distributed to the owners and investors of the corporation. So employees and suppliers are merely a part of the production process. And the effect of corporate activity can be externalized to society at large with impunity. The environment is a free resource to be used for financial gain, and the future, also a key stakeholders, can be neglected. But it is still possible to talk about corporate sustainable corporate activity. So we have to complete this process, maybe.
Okay, so let's go back to that transformational process and redefine all the terms in it. So when we talk about capital in that transformation as one of the inputs, what we're talking about is environmental resources. When we talk about labour, what we're really talking about is people. When we talk about finance, yeah, okay, we're still talking about finance. But when we talk about the activities that a corporation undertakes and if the outputs from those activities, that needs completely be redefined as well. So what a corporation produces as outputs are goods and services and other effects, surpluses or deficits which accrue to all the different stakeholders of the corporation, and they are distributed in some way to all of those stakeholders. This is where we have one of the problems with accounting, that accounting does not recognise this. Firms do not account for all of the effects of their activities. So we've got a completely different view of corporate activity once we start to redefine these terms. And when we start to re-examine these terms, it becomes even more apparent. So we've got some problems we need to address. So we instead of talking about capital, we start to talk about natural resources, and straight resources are finite. Natural resources of this planet are fully committed. Many people would say they are overcommitted, firms cannot grow by using more natural resources, they're scarce. So the conventional view of corporate activity is that finance is a scarce resource. Actually, finance is not a scarce resource. A scarce resource for corporate activity are natural resources. So efficiency, when we talk about corporate efficiency, which is what everybody strives towards, instead of talking about the efficient use of financial resources, we need to talk about the efficient use of natural resources. In other words, we're talking about doing more with less as a route, the only route to sustainability because of the finite nature of natural resources. And this, of course, requires innovation, technological development, R&D, those kind of things. These are all the things that the accounting view of the firm eliminates in order to cut cost. So the drive towards financial efficiency leads towards the commodification of labour, it leads towards the de-skilling of labour, it reduces innovation, it reduces technological development as expendable for immediate profit. This is the only route that firms have towards real sustainability. So we need to look at the transformational process differently. We've got the inputs redefined, and we can talk about substitution. The traditional view is you can substitute one resource for another, but it's obvious that there's a limit to the extent you can do that. There's a limit to the extent to which you can substitute natural resources with the other resources, except by undertaking technological development. So that the real focus of corporate activity has got to be upon the activities which add value in the corporation and the development of those activities in order to achieve some kind of growth. But at the same time, that corporation has got to recognise that the route to sustainability is not to treat the stakeholders to the firm as simply inputs into that transformational process. All stakeholders are affected by the actions of the corporation, and it's the distribution of all the effects of those actions that is really important and really necessary to address the concept of sustainability. So we've got to take into account the three stages and look at them again, and we've got to shift stakeholders, raise them in importance from part of the production process to key players in the distribution of effects. So we, instead of talking about sustainability, we talk about distributable sustainability, because it's the distribution of those effects that is really important towards the successful continuance of the economic activity which all firms are striving towards. So we're talking about a complete redefinition of corporate activity, focusing it in a different way.
First off, sustainability. It is necessary to constitute operationalization, sustainability. Our argument has been that sustainability must involve greater efficiency in the use of resources and greater equity in the distribution of the effects of corporate activity. To be operationalized, then of course the effect must be measurable, and the combination must, of course, be manageable. This can be depicted as a model of sustainability shown in this slide. This acts as a form of balanced scorecard to provide a form of evaluation for the operational sustainability within an organization. It concentrates upon the four key components. First is strategy, and second is finance, and third is distribution, and last one is technological development. Moreover, it balance between these factors, which is most significant aspect of sustainability. From this plan of action, is possible for an organization which will recognize priorities and provide the basic performance of provide a basis for performance of evaluation. Now, I think. Yes, that's changed. Really. Now, time to talk about durability. Actually, that is the new word in this presentation. Actually, to summarize, sustainability requires a radical rethink. And to move away from the cozy security of the Brundtland definition. We therefore reject the accepted term of sustainability, and and also sustainable development, preferring instead of use the term durability and durable sustainability. So, and also we designed the new theory, but we have to show different files because there was, and we have four components of durability: technology, innovation, system, and governance. So, David.
Okay.
That is square theory.
Yeah. So we choose to talk about durability instead of sustainability, primarily to say the Brundtland definition is wrong, and we want to talk about something different. So our definition of what it's all about is different. And we said the triple bottom line is problematic. It's not sufficiently encompassing enough to be meaningful. So instead of the triple bottom line, we talk about what we've called square theory, which is that diagram that we've got to show separately because the technical problems here, but there are four aspects of square theory. So we talk about square theory because a square is balanced and the triple bottom line is not balanced. So we've got these four aspects that we need to take into account. The technological, which is the essential part of the transformational process. We need to talk about innovation, which is what leads to value added in corporate activity, and these two must be combined to lead to sustainable growth. These have to be set in the context of the whole system, which enables the regulation of activity and the distribution of its effects, and we need to consider all of this in the context of its governance. And for us, when we talk about governance, we're not talking about the rules that enable corporations to function or anything like that. We're talking about ensuring equity as far as all the stakeholders are concerned. Now we've got to go.
Square theory.
Well, we've got a slight technical problem with the system, so square theory two. So we go back to this square theory and try and explain it. It's not really, doesn't flow very well, this, because we've got to keep flipping through different files to show what we're talking about. But what we're trying to say with this theory, four aspects are important. They address the internal and the external aspects of corporate activity, and they treat them as equal. They don't do what is a conventional focus of corporate activity, which is privileging corporate activity and ignoring externalized effects. Our approach treats them as equal. Our approach also looks at the operational aspects and the strategic aspects of corporate activity, and it treats them both as equally important. So essentially we've got a balanced view of corporate activity, which can be encapsulated in this diagram, which would look better if we had the right slides, but now we're on to that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we just summarize quickly, and the durable sustainability have two components, efficiency and equity. So efficient, but we have to describe, we have to redefine what is efficiency in this concept. So what is the priority efficient use of environment resources, and rather than the efficient use of financial resources. And also equity requires a minimum satisfaction of the stakeholders, and not merely provision of the return of owners and investors. These are the prerequisite for sustainable development. And sustainable development also refers to recycling, and sustainable corporation needs to invest all of its stakeholders, and stakeholders who is well treated. So they are expecting and receiving benefits from the company. They expect return benefit to that company. So stakeholders who well treated both receive benefit from the company and returns the benefit to company. So we have to, if we want to conclude this subject, this durable sustainability and square theory, we defend that durability rather than sustainability. We describe three key components: efficient use of scarce resources, and innovation and R&D, and equitable distribution. So actually we need to talk about sustainability. We are using this during 20 years. It needs redefinition, and it needs new component, maybe it needs revise. So we just try to do that. So
what we're saying, in effect, we've got to redefine corporate activity. We still want to talk about the use of scarce resources, but the resources that are scarce are the different ones, to the conventional view of the firm, and the way to address those is different to the conventional view of the firm, because we've got to talk about environmental resources rather than financial resources, and we've got to define the outputs of corporate activity differently, talk about equity in the distribution of those effects, and these together comprise sustainability. Our argument has been that the Brundtland definition has misled people from talking about these issues to talking about trivial issues, and the focus on the triple bottom line has exacerbated that misfocus of corporate activity away from what we think is really important, and that's what we've been trying to say, basically.